You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Diablo's Den, the Corona Chronicles, episode number 5. I am your co-host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with the one and only Danny Diablo.
Well, Lord, he's there.
Man. What's up, E? So usually we start off the show on very, like, high energy stuff, but yeah. You want to start this off with something you had to say, right?
I want to dedicate this whole show to Cook One from Jersey, who passed away. He's a good guy who used to go support all my music. He was a staple in the New Jersey hardcore scene. He would go to every Scarhead show, every Danny Diablo show, my first Diablo Wednesdays, that Lucky 13, the graffiti stuff. He used to go. Him and Gutter and Tim MOD, they used to come down and just represent. And he has three kids who he survived by it. I want to say your father was a great person. He was working the trauma in the ER, and he worked saving people, like working with people with COVID. And basically, he had diabetes and got sick, and he died yesterday.
That's horrible, man.
It's fucking sad, man.
Well,
so,
awful.
Cook Warner, I love you. Rest in peace. You are a hero, and we all love you. That's
so
all.
Shout
I'm
out
saying.
To Cook. Yeah.
Shout out to Cook Warner, bro. I love you. España.
We just wanted to send out this whole episode his way because, again, somebody who supported the podcast and everything we've done. So we're going to open up the regular show. The last week episode with Billy was so great, and we got so much good
Billy.
Feedback.
Billy's making me laugh. I love talking shit with Billy.
Yo, the story.
Great guy.
The story about Harley trying out for them was crazy because I never had heard that. Had you heard that story before?
No, but I said it would have been great. He should have done it.
I got to make one correction on that. So after the thing, I had originally said the party at my house was like in 2002. Yeah. Yvonne, shout out Yvonne, corrected me that it was actually
Of course, Yvonne.
Yeah, he's the guy who knows.
He's analytical. Not analytical. He's analytical.
Well, it was actually happened in 1999. So way earlier than I thought. So it was pretty crazy that party happened. So yeah. I just wanted to correct myself. So shout out Yvonne for doing that. So, E, what have you been doing this past week, man? I saw that you started a new thing. I want to plug it here a little bit. So you're doing a new thing where you're offering verses, right, for people.
I just did a verse for these dudes called Smoke Break from Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
So basically, I'm trying to work here and there, but construction, but I do music, so I do features. So awesome. It's cool because imagine when you're a little kid. Imagine if you were a little kid and you could be like, "Hey, Bruce Dickinson, can you sing on my record?"
A little kid. I imagine getting you right now is cool. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying.
It's like I do my thing is I do verses. I do hip hop and hardcore.
Yeah.
So if you're a hardcore band and you want me to be on your album,
this is the time.
Not the fucking, hey, happy birthday. Yeah. Fuck that shit. I'm not going to be these old niggas like that. But you mean, I'm not playing a bar mitzvah or wedding or something like that. But I'm saying.
Well, if the money's right, maybe we will do it, though.
The money's right, yo. I've been flown out to Miami.
Right, no, for sure.
Listen, if you are a legit artist and you don't know me anything, and you don't know anybody, and you want to get me on your record, you can hit me up. Hit my manager up. Hit my manager up, the DRP, Donnie, and he'll work it out.
And we're gonna have all the info.
If you want to do hardcore or metal or hip or rap, I do it all.
Even spoken word intro. Like if a band wants to have you
spoken
do the intro
word,
for
so
the.
Let me do some like Phil Samo shit. Like yes, and they're killing.
Yeah,
us.
Or like. Kind of like a do an intro to some shit.
But you mean like, but can't be corny.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, because I see some of these niggas do some corny shit, and I'm like, oh man. And sometimes like a tear comes in my eye. Sometimes I'm like, oh, is that gonna be me? Oh, I got you. Oh, yeah, do what you have to do.
Right.
Bill.
No.
We have kids, child support. My girl was over here. She wants to find things in life. I mean,
well, I would like to think that anybody who's going to come get a feature is worth of taste and knows.
I got a team that looks over, but the team is a Storm and my manager.
Yeah.
That shit's whack. Don't do it. So I believe that what they say. Right? Yeah. So if someone's dope, up and coming, I'll do it. I'm not gonna say the price or anything like that, but hit my manager. That's why I got a manager.
Yeah.
You want me speaking business, by anything.
Yeah. You just want to get the verse. No, I think
put me in front of the microphone. I do what I do.
I think it's really cool that you're doing this, man. It's a really good idea. I think it's a great opportunity.
Wow, there's a lot of young hardcore bands that love my music and they're like doing albums. And they're like, yo, can we get you on? I'm like, hell yeah. Well, and then it's even cooler if a dude upcoming band and they have financial backing from a label. They can do a video. I'll do a special to do the video. So I did that with Coastside.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Coastside flew me out to fucking Florida, put me in a hotel for the weekend, played a show, then I did a video.
That's
so
awesome.
I brought my girl. So it's like, so me and my girl in Florida in a beach, in a hotel right by the beach. It was beautiful. I had a great time. You mean?
That's cool. So yeah. So anybody
that's called being an artist. Yep. Being treated like an artist.
Anybody who's out there. So you just heard it here.
Shout out to Coastside, Rob, Coastside.
You heard it here, man. So if you guys want to get Danny on your feature, you'll see the information on your screen here, or drop a line to our show. But yeah, so that's cool that you were doing that, man. I didn't know that you were. I knew we were talking about it, but that's awesome that it's open now to everybody. So I hope.
Yeah. It's crazy because last week I got like three people to do it. I picked the best one out of them.
Yeah.
So it's cool. And also, you never know when the band you do, the up and coming band, all of a sudden they blow up and they be like, yo, our first feature they did was Danny Diablo.
Right.
So cool.
Also,
I want to give a shout out to Ken357 and a shout out to Echo MPC, old school graffiti guys.
Awesome.
That, you know, that I still keep in touch with. Shout out to Gutter Christ. Productions. If you, Gunner's doing this new Crown Thorn show for me.
He did the Baby Yoda, right?
Yeah, Baby Yoda. Juggernaut. If you want Baby Yoda,
yo, the Juggernaut design is fucking hard, yo.
If you want those right now, and we ship all over the world. Go to Gunner Christ on Instagram. Gunner Christ Production Instagram. Right now, you look at the. And where you can get it.
Yep, exactly. I'll put it right up on screen.
I like that.
So I want to give a shout out too, man, while we're doing that, to my homeboy, right. Dollar Slice Bootlegs. He's my boy in the resin toy scene, man. And I've just been watching some crazy videos. So shout out to him and Junk Fed, who are doing some crazy art shit, man. I've been listening. Yo, there's a cool new I feel like I've been talking about Connecticut a lot in the past couple episodes, but there's a lot of new bands, man. Got this new demo the other day called from a band called Hard Feelings. Yo, this shit is dope. Right. It's like reminds me of like Strife, early 90s hardcore fast. So I want everybody to go check those out. The kids are super cool kids. They've been supporting the scene for a long time, so it's cool to see a new band come from Connecticut. I want to shout that out, man, because I think we've been getting a lot of feedback from people saying they like the stuff that you and I recommend. What are you listening to this week? Anything?
Yes, I've been listening to Celtic Frost, the 2006 Monotheism album record, but Trypticon, his new band.
Oh, dope!
It's hard as fuck. It's like, yeah, I've been listening to a lot lately. I've been watching the videos, very theatrical.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
It's fucking crazy, yo! Very Viking Nordic crazy fucking crazy dudes. But the music's so fucking dope. I've been listening to Sonny Kane. I've been listening to the Crimson Twins with Wes Nile and A Sharp.
Okay.
They have a new video out called Cobra Commander or some shit like that. But watch it.
Is that
Wes
based
Nile
on G.I. Joe?
A-Sharp does the beats. Wes Nile, check his shit out. He's my son. He does like the hip hop and hardcore.
That's so awesome.
You know, we got everyone in the New Jersey hardcore scene. He's a dope MC and dope. And Razorblade Hand Grenade is his band, so that's dope. But fucking, it's called Crimson Twins. Check it out. But that's it. It's Sonny Kane.
That's awesome.
Like, so that, but Trypticon, that's hard. Celtic Frost, you mean Hellhammer, all that shit. B.
That's awesome, man. All right. So
look, shout out goes to my man Demon.
Oh, that's a cool shirt.
He brought me a shirt today. He's selling these online, so check it out.
That's sick. Yeah, give me the link, and I'll make sure we plug that where it needs to go. So, yo, we got a cool show. We're going to get our first guest on tonight, who is a good friend of the show. He's a listener. He's a producer. He's done some cool stuff. He played in Scarhead for a little while. So we're going to have to definitely ask him about any stories with that.
He played Scarhead, but he toured with Scarhead.
He toured with Scarhead. Sorry. Yeah, so we'll have
he toured with me, Dan Diablo. He'll tell you the truth.
And we're back with our first guest of the night. I want to welcome one of our good friends, friend of the podcast, and a good friend of ours for years. So welcome DJ Stress.
What's up, guys?
That's the white boy.
How are you, man?
Pretty good, man. Growing a quarantine beard. Getting ready to moonlight for Santa Claus. It's Christmas. My beard's so white, man.
I thought it was George Clooney.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take that.
I thought it was George Clooney.
I'll take that.
Yo, so Stress, thanks for dropping by the fucking Corona Chronicles, man. We've been having all our friends kind of swing by for these little interview segments and shit. So, yo, for listeners who aren't familiar with you, man, tell us the elevator pitch of Stress the White Boy for the listeners.
Wait. Fuck that. Before anything, I'm going to let's break it down.
All right.
When we first met Stress was DJing for the Lords of Brooklyn.
Yeah, yep.
Shout out.
And I was like, yo, look at this nice kid. I said, yo, if you want a real job, come with me, kid. And he was like, yeah, Danny, he's like, of course I will. And I took him under my wing.
Actually,
all over the world.
And I was like, actually,
and now he look at him. I said, fly free, bro, out of that. and look at this guy. He has gold records with Tiger and Wu Tang and Raekwon.
Yeah, amazing accomplishments, man. So,
thank you, Thomas.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, tell the listeners a little bit about some of your background. So coming, you know, like he said, you started in Lords of Brooklyn, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I actually started in a group very similar. Sub Hoods. Nice. E actually was on a song with us as well. We started as a hip hop group, and then we added a band. You know, I'll say to anybody that we were the first people to ever do that before any Limp Bizkit or E Town. We were like literally one of the first people to ever do that. And then I actually tried to throw beats at Caves a while ago, and he was like, years ago, and he was like, now my brother does that, but we need a DJ. And then from that, I just started making beats and doing productions. Now I do more just like full-fledged productions. But I mean, I've done everything from Tyga to Gym Class to fucking...
Yep, Gym Class Heroes.
Yep.
Good Charlotte to... Madball, E stuff. I mean, he's my number one customer, man. I've done four songs with this guy.
If it's not broken, don't fix it. Every time I do something, they're like, yo, I got a dude who can master it. I'm like, your nigga's whack. I got my nigga. Don't worry. Every time, FTW. The Danny Diablo stuff, or the Bloody Eden. We're recording a lot of stuff. Mostly the Stresses. I used to go to Stresses with my son and record. He always wanted my son there. Because if I didn't have my son there, he would be like, this guy's too fucking crazy. Yeah. But I would go there, and it would be total chaos. Like BB Gun Wars.
One time, Isaac and Freddie Madball crossed paths in the same studio. And that's when they had the BB gun war. And, yo, Scam was jumping out the window. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what is going on? Like, that was, like, probably...
The WAP. I shot the WAP.
Yeah, you shot the WAP. And then you tricked Scam. You made him wear a Viking helmet and a blanket. And you made Scam, like, go do a verse or something. And then... Yeah, shot him. Yo, totally vulnerable. Yo, he lit him up, dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He had great aim, right?
Yeah, he's pretty good with it. Yo, he's good with it.
Damn, that's fucking wild. And you're probably just in there like, oh, man, my gear, this or that, right?
Yo, Stress used to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Jay, it doesn't matter if it's the studio or if I'm on tour. Next thing you know, he's like, field's on fire, bedroom's on fire.
Tell him, wait. The best is like when we went to Scam. Scam would get everyone's nerves, and we'd be like, "Yo, shut the fuck!" And then we would table. He wouldn't wear no shirt. He'd be like shirtless in a restaurant. So like, yo, 8 in the morning, get coffee.
It actually started. So they had a rough night the night before, and like the tour was pretty big, but those hotel rooms were like bigger. they remind me of like a Days In, but like hostile style, like
right.
three. So E was always on the right of me, and Scam was on the left of me, and I always, because these guys snore a little bit, and I would put earplugs in, and I would take like two like Tylenol PMs to go to sleep, and then the sun was rising, and then I woke up, and then these two were like throwing a fist over me, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I was like, yo, whoa, I'm trying to break it up without trying to get hit. And then Scam goes, I'm like, what happened? And he said E just walked out of the shower like, yeah, what's up, bro? I'm fucking hard, right? Like, what? And then Scam tried to attack him. Then I break it up, and then we go downstairs to this restaurant that E's talking about. Scam has no shirt on. And then they start fighting each other like prison style. Well, then E throws
a knife at him.
He throws a knife at him.
What?
Yo, Jay, bro, it goes so far and hits him in like the kidney area and leaves a welt of nothing but the size of a knife. It was incredible,
wow.
Man. That's on video.
That's fucking wild, man. And you're just like, what's your thoughts here? You're like, fuck.
No, they love it because Scam is annoying everyone on tour.
Scam was wild that tour.
Scam is the best on tour, but sometimes I'm like, Scam. Oh my God, he's so nuts.
I was told specifically to ask Stress about being on tour with you guys, so I'm glad that that came up very early.
Yeah, that whole tour started going crazy. We were, where were we, E? We were in Milan, Italy.
we killed it. Yo, listen.
Oh, wait, so you guys are, like, this is going on, like, out of, in another country.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
In America, out of the country. But we started, Scam would start the show off, and then it was in Italy, and E's to my right of me, we're watching, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing, and then the intro starts, and then he makes me stop it, and he's like, yo, Scam Dust, New York City. And then I look at E, and he's like, all right, whatever. And he goes, America, number one.
Oh.
Italy, number two. America, number one. Italy, number two. Fuck those terrorists. Drop the beat, Stress. And I'm like, it was cricket to me. And E was like, drop the beat. Just drop it.
What the fuck?
Yo, I saw the hardest punch ever in my life on that tour. Ever.
Ever. I can already tell.
The muscle Polish guy.
Yeah, and Scam stole his girl.
All right, shout out Polish Princess. I got to hear the story then. We got
Puerto Rican Mike, that's all I have to say.
Oh, that was the same thing. So, yeah, and then, like, wait.
The worst, when Scott, listen, everything was going so nice. We were doing
this is in Poland?
Daily Devil Ill Rock Soldiers, and we had the best 2 weeks of our life.
This is in Poland.
All of
Poland happened. Pat, then all of a sudden, Scarhead came. And all of a sudden, not even 5 minutes. Panic, and Porgy, you might fight each other.
I'll say generously say that he actually talked some sense into Porter from Mike. He fell down the steps.
Wow.
And
No, wait. Yo, people say all these crazy rumors. Hey, listen.
Clear the air. Go ahead.
He would not stop.
Say again?
Puerto Rican Mike would not stop. He had to be stopped.
Oh, he was wild. He was wild style. I mean, so Jay, this is all happening.
Hold on. Wait. Can I interrupt for 1 second? Is this the same story that goes back to episode number one of the Corona Chronicles that scammed us?
Oh, wait, yes, when I slapped him.
Yeah. Is this full circle? We're getting like the whole.
Yo, right. When he fell, he goes, I'm going to tell your mom. You know, calling Ruthie. He said, yo,
all right,
mine.
So listen, this makes a lot of sense. In episode number one, Scam just talked about this thing in Poland happening. So now I didn't ask about it.
So basically, it all started, like, we were already there. Like, the last two dates of the Danny Diablo tour were in Poland. And then we were going home, but E and Scarhead were going to continue. So they crossed paths. They did the Scarhead started their tour on the two Poland shows.
Yeah.
So the whole entire way, Puerto Rican Mike is on the plane sending pictures of party favors and shit, like on the plane.
How is he on the plane sending pictures?
Yeah, he found out. He sent us all these photos. He came out. He was out of control.
They were drunk.
Yeah, long story short, you know, he was so inebriated, and then he passed out in the green room, and then he put like a bunch of made a baloney face up, put baloney up over his face. But then
it was freezing too. He had no shirt. He was like, yeah, hypothermia.
Everybody's always shirtless in these stories too. It's crazy.
Well, yo, right? And then he's like coming to, and then he's like, "Yo, fuck you, Ezek. I'm calling Ruthie. I'm telling your mom on you, man.
Damn.
Telling your mom what you're doing to me, man." And then all of a sudden, it was time to play, and this fucking guy got up. Boom.
Nothing happened.
We gave him three panics pills, and he went to sleep. Yo, he got up. The music went out. He went right into it. Riggs slapped that nigga, right? He was like, "Fuck you, Riggs."
What did you do for the intro, Juggernaut?
Yeah, he was.
And he's giving him the finger the whole time, and Rick was like. So then, right? It's over, right? And I go back to the green room, and I'm sitting down. I'm pretty on point all the time.
Yeah.
I have all my stuff packed, and I sit down. And E's like, "Come on, let's go." I'm like, "All right, cool, we're leaving." He's like, "Nah, beef." So then I go, I'm like, "Beef," and it was like two lines of people, us versus them. I guess these dudes had some problems with E, whatever.
You were pouring your mic. It wasn't me. You were pouring your mic.
That's what it was. Well, anyway, all I know is this: I'm getting ready to set up and do what we got to do, and out of the corner of my eye, out of my left side of my eye, I saw the quickest whip. Boom! And this dude was big, and this dude started going like tipsy topsy turvy, and boom, fell down. Every other single person in that crew ran away, and then Scam at the time, I think, had a date that night. Dude, it was crazy. And then there was another. I won't even talk about the United States tour. That was.
Oh God.
Yeah, he was setting fire. He said
the whole what's it called? The Waffle House.
Yeah.
I set the whole gas station on fire.
Yo, we had our first
what?
Night.
We
had a show in Connecticut, and then we had a day off. So I went home. And I was like, "Oh, I'll make this fun. Maddie Posse's out there. I'm gonna bring some fireworks." Biggest mistake of my life.
Yeah, we had a van that Donnie let his work man. And I trapped Matty Pasta in the van and threw all fireworks, Roman candles.
Yeah, I thought he was going to die.
Remember? And he locked the door on him so he couldn't get out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was – yo, Jay, it was pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yo, you see how white my beard was? It wasn't that white back then, bro. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
He said he tried to make me fight Lawrence.
Oh man! Shout out Lawrence. Lawrence is like this. Lawrence is like the most. He's the most mellow.
Lawrence
is so mellow.
Yo, Lawrence is the nicest guy, and he had me trying to beat him up.
No, listen. They both would argue each other. I'm like, yo, stop it.
Yeah, you just wanted it over with.
Lawrence is taking care of all my stuff. And stress is very stressful. Everybody's saying DJ stress.
Yeah, I'm not fun to talk to.
He blows up all the time, and he wanted to fight poor Lawrence. I was like, "Come on, bro."
I love Lawrence. Me and Lawrence are cool.
I love Lawrence.
He did that. He started that.
The puppet master.
Wow.
Yes.
I love
they
that.
Call me
man.
The puppet master.
Geppetto. Oh. Geppetto.
Yo, wait. What else happened? I can go on for days, dude. Like just
well, yo, stress
this,
before
let's
we get
just talk about.
I want to talk. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit.
The people you work with. The people,
okay.
How many you have platinum records, gold records, saved?
Gold, gold. Yeah, gold. Sorry, Jay. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, let's talk a little bit about the music stuff, man. Because you're a super accomplished producer, songwriter.
You're a great producer, stress.
Yeah, so
no
stress.
How much I don't want so much shit I talk. You're a great producer.
Thank you, buddy.
Stress. So let me. I want to talk to you something that's very interesting to me. You and I have had conversations offline about this. Is the whole business aspect and shit. Like, how did you transition from being a touring or on stage musician with Lords of Brooklyn and stuff into becoming like a studio, you know, musician and getting your beats placed in some of these things, man? I think a lot of our fans think some of these things are so unattainable. So if you could kind of just paint a little bit of a picture of how you transition from doing that and kind of getting into those steps.
Yeah, like I always was like banging on pads trying to you know, play songs, whatever. And I was working with like a lot of like pioneers from like Rampage, The Last Boy Scout, Poor Rich's Teachers, did full songs with some of these guys, and I never placed any of them. So, I mean, I could say I was working with these dudes for a while, but like, you know, it doesn't matter until you get a placement, you know?
Right.
And weirdly, it goes back full circle. You know, E is not lying. Like, I met E and Freddie the first time through Lords of Brooklyn at a show, and then I was on tour with Lords of Brooklyn. Like, I got in Lords of Brooklyn by trying to place beats with them. And like I said, Kay's like, oh, my brother Adam does. And then, you know, I learned a lot from Adam. Adam's one of my favorite producers out there.
Shout out to Adam, shout ADM, Lords of Brooklyn. One of the best producers out there.
Yeah.
That's my brother Caves.
Yeah.
Lords of Brooklyn. Those dudes were doing it before everyone.
Yep, brothers. Those are my brothers for life, man. Those guys.
Yeah, we had Caves on an episode, and it was awesome, man. He was a really good storyteller and told us a lot of the history with Lords of Brooklyn. So
I was touring with them for a lot, and then excuse me, my dad died in 2001, at this time,
yeah, rest in peace, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you, guys. And during this time, like, I was really active touring and just trying to make a lot of things happen. And like, my youngest brother was 9. Sev was 9 at the time.
Oh my God, shout Sev, bro.
Yeah, Sev's home in Philly right now.
Yo, listen. First of all, Sev will fuck you up, nigga. don't talk shit about Sev. Yo, that nigga will fuck you up. Shout out to Sev.
Yeah, Sev's that dude. And I love Sev. I don't care. Real quick, I don't care what anyone knows about me, about music. I don't care what anyone knows about me, about street life or anything like that. He is my greatest achievement, that guy, man. He's just like a good, well-rounded young man. He's respectful. Yes,
that's cool.
You did good.
Thank you, man. He's successful. You know, he's old school, and he's only 28 years old, man. He's like us, you know? So something I'm proud of. But I was on tour. I was on Vans Warped Tour, Nassau Coliseum, and Jack Sev got in trouble taking a T-shirt, writing like a grime graffiti piece on a trailer, you know, temporary.
Yeah.
Someone ratted him out. They had a meeting trying to kick him off the tour. Caves,
what?
Yeah.
That's whack.
Yeah, Caves got him to stay.
I've been there, done that.
We know about your Warped Tour experience.
Yeah.
That's legendary.
I just beat the shit out of security guards.
Yo, I know that guy was on the tour. The big guy, the old head.
No, what's that talking about? Why
you gonna cut that part?
Yeah. So, Jack got in trouble. So Jack's job was to go to, you know, get us lunch, dinner, just teach him some responsibility.
Right.
And then when he went there, some dude came up to him. He's like, "Oh, you the guy from Lords of Brooklyn that got busted writing graffiti?" And Jack was like, "Yeah, they let me stay." And he goes, "Oh, cool. You got a black book?" And Jack goes, "Yeah, I got a black book. I write graffiti." And he goes, "Well, I do too. And if you want to come by, bring it by the Gym Class Heroes bus. My name's Travis."
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, cool. And Jack goes, "Oh, I make beats too." And Trav was like, "What? How old are you?" He's like, "I'm 12. He goes, "Well, bring a beat CD." And then Jack was like, "Well, you should probably listen to my brothers because he taught me everything." So then Jack came back to the bus. I gave him a beat CD.
And that's how the Class Heroes thing happened.
Yeah,
that's,
and then
awesome.
Cleveland, he came up to me and was like, "Yeah, I want to work with you." And then next thing you know, from what I understand, I mean, they put out As Cruel as School Children, and it wasn't doing that well, so they repackaged it with a bunch of remixes. Mm-hmm. One with Lil Wayne, one with I forget the other guy. Papoose, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I did the remix. I did one, and they're like, "Oh, we want something vintage." So I charted horns. I had Chuck Treese, my guy.
Shout out to Chuck Treese.
Chuck Treese. And we made it. They wanted it to sound like an Amy Winehouse kind of like throwback.
Yep.
So I did that. And then they told me it was going to be either Joel Santana or Omarion. And nothing came about it. And then one day in my email, it said GFK vocals. And then it said, "Please place these." So then I put the Ghostface vocals in. And then next thing you know, the remix went. And then that whole record ended up going gold.
That's wild, man. Yes. So Stress, for somebody like you, what does that feel like? That's a huge accomplishment, right? Because you're just like a dude who's trying to play some stuff, and then it's like, holy fuck. Like, it's – what's that like, man?
It was emotional in a way, because I've tried so hard, and not many – you know, there's a few people that have helped me. One here, we know, you know, there's a bunch of people.
Listen, keep it coming.
Yeah. You know, there's a few.
I'll tell you right now, Stress had an emotional ride to where he is right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand because me and Stress really bonded because I lost my father.
Yeah.
His father, and, you know, a lot of horrors, we had family stuff, and we always talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we're just like cool. And you know, and when you have a brother like me, Stress and Brothers, then you start going on tour, and you're like, oh my god, then we would get into those nerves. It would be like,
because it's like family at that point.
I'd be like, I bring Stress on the road, and Stress is like, god, how am I gonna do this?
Yeah, one time I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going. He's like, no, you're going. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, you can't say no, man. At that point, you know.
Yeah, but you know, he has the best chance. We. We would cry laughing.
Yeah, right. Remember when Willen tried to stab me in Miami in the ocean?
What was that about? He didn't want to go in the water.
Well, no, we were all like, remember the routing was so fucked up.
Do you remember when he wouldn't leave the titty bar? He kept going to the ATM?
But wait.
Remember that?
Yeah, so he texted me today, too. It's so weird. So,
Willen,
what's up? But no, so it was. We were. At the beach, and then we parked back. And
yeah, Doc Martens on.
What's that?
He wore his Doc Martens to the beach.
Yeah, and so we were running back. He's like, where are you guys going? I'm like, we're getting our bathing suits on, going in the water. So we go in. I was like, yo, but be careful, man. There's mad sharks. That's what I said to him. Mad sharks. And then we came back, and we're in the water. So he's in the water. So he didn't see me, so I went under and I grabbed his legs. You know, this dude took out a blade and started stabbing in the water and just
hit me.
But anyway, yeah. So I mean, I ended up from the gym class stuff.
Yeah.
I ended up that led to Tyga. They, you know, Tyga couldn't even get a deal.
You worked with Tyga super early on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit of what are some of the songs you worked?
The hardcore thing with that is that Anthony from
E-Town, shout out Ant Money from E-Town was his manager.
Anthony Martini, who the singer E-Town Concrete, was Tiger's manager.
Yep.
For a while.
Still is.
Still is. Yep.
Oh, seriously?
Yep.
Hit that nigga for verse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, Gym Class Heroes was playing Great Adventure, and then Trav was supposed to come back to the studio, and he couldn't, but he asked me if I could take his cousin. I'm like, who's your cousin? And he told me it's Kenny and Tyga. And then I ended up ultimately did like 20 songs with him.
You worked with him.
What was the first song? What was the first song that released that you guys commercially released together?
The record was called No Introduction, and I had four on them. I have a song called
That's awesome.
Yeah, 2 a.m., Pillow Talking, that features Will Geist from the he wasn't in Boys to Men, but he was in their camp.
Yep.
So,
2 a.m. Summertime, and then a song called I Am, which featured Lil Wayne last second.
That's sick.
So that's like my first.
Stress, you've worked with like, I mean,
you're right.
The names that you've been able to work with is pretty fucking cool, huh? Like, as a music fan, what the fuck's that like?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, I mean,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're sitting there and you get, like, you just said, like, vocals from Ghostface. It's just like, I mean, because you and I have talked again offline, like, about how much music we like and stuff. So it's like, I can only imagine you as a music fan being like, what the fuck, you know? Like,
well, it's so crazy to me because, like, I have my, like, super favorites of, like, hip-hop, but, like, Ghostface is one of my favorites, and so is Wheezy, man. Yep. So the fact that I got two official joints with those guys, it really is something that, like, I they can't take it away from me, you know? So at the end of the day. But then that led to other things. Like, I mean, I started working with, like, I don't know, like, I did a joint with Sister Nancy, the First Lady of Reggae. I did Good Charlotte. I'm on their Greatest Remixes record with like a whole bunch of people, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah. And then I did a remix with Bunny Sigler that featured Patti LaBelle. I did a bunch of stuff, man. I mean, I'm still active. I'm not as active. I mean, I'm not, you know, streaming.
He's also a thrash band singer.
Yeah, you've got your band to Activate, right?
Well, yeah, RIP, it's done.
Oh,
you know?
Man, it's done already?
Yeah, I love that band. There's this one little douche.
That was a cool vibe.
Yeah, there's a douchebag in the band, but I won't name names, but whatever. He's a little fucking little meatball.
Well, listen, Stress, we could keep you on all night, but we're definitely going to have you we're going to have you on
Stress,
when we get back into the studio.
I want to say Stress. Okay. Me and Stress always talk about this. The whole world watches this. Everyone wants to talk about who's the best rapper in DMS. And I have to say, straight up, the two best guys I would put against anyone, Panic and Puerto Rican Mike. Performance, live performance wise, on stage and at the party wise.
I love that after party is its own category.
That's where I was like, because yo, usually when I'm gonna be straight honest.
Yeah.
When it comes to after parties, I usually see about 30 seconds of after parties because that's not my type of party, man. Right. These guys, yo,
Panic, imagine Panic and pouring your mic on a road together in a van.
Oh my dude, I would fucking.
Yo, the last time I saw Panic and Mike together, it was at the Hooligan Holiday, and Puerto Rican Mike was snorting hot sauce.
Damn.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh my god, those guys are insane.
I love them, man. It's good. We have a lot of great rappers, man. You know, You know,
Long Willing's up there.
Oh, he's a beast, dude. He's a beast, man. Like, I think some of the stuff that Willing says, man, is like. It's deep, man. Like, he's I was talking to him today. He's about ready to do some other type of stuff. So I'm kind of
he's sober.
Yeah, good for him, man.
That's awesome.
Him and Slain are sober.
Yeah, Slain is too. Yeah.
How about Panic and Puerto Rican Mike? What do you think they are, sober?
Love Mike. Love you, Panic.
Oh man. Well, yo, Stress, so before we let you go, what else are you working on, man? You working on anything while you're in the hold up in the quarantine?
He's mastering the best hip-hop group ever, Spick, right now.
I am mastering that project right now. I am.
Awesome, man.
Doing that. I'm getting ready to do Hoya's True Union project.
Yeah, we're...
Wait, what's that?
It's his new group.
He's got a project called True Union.
We're going to talk about it with him today.
Wait, what does he do?
Everything.
What?
We're going to talk about it. Hoya's our other guest after this.
I better be on that fucking project.
Yo, hey, this shit's great, man. It's not what you think it is. It's like, I don't even know how to say it. Like, he'll probably get mad at me for saying it. But like, No, it sounds like AC/DC with soul.
That's awesome. What? That's a good description.
He sings?
No, he references vocals, though. And they're great, man. But he's got one other guy doing vocals now.
Who's this nigga?
I don't know.
We're gonna have to. You're gonna have to ask him.
I have something to say to this motherfucker.
Yeah, we're gonna have to ask him. So Stress.
Yes.
Before we let you go, man, where can everybody find you online? And like, are you open to like anybody who's listening? Are you accepting? Do you accept music from people and stuff?
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, yeah. They can find me on best probably way is either Instagram.
Okay.
Stress215 STRESS215.
Yes.
Same thing as Twitter, STRESS215. Or just look up Chop Shop Studio. On the website is www.thechopshopstudio.com.
That's great. Oh. And where's your studio located? Just in case after Corona and clients can come back in, where can they go visit you?
I recently moved in the fall, so I live in Ottsville, which is close to Doylestown, PA. It's like between Allentown and Philadelphia, PA. I'm in the woods now.
So you could do full band setups too, Stress, right? Because I know you do drums. Yeah. You do the whole thing, man, right?
You did the MOD Classic.
Yep. I just did the MOD Classic, and I also did I tracked the Madball bonus track for the Hold It Down re-release.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm waiting for my copy of that to come in the mail.
Yeah, I did that here. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yo, Stress, thank you so much for joining us on the Corona Chronicles. We're going to have you.
I love you, Stress, man.
Love you too, buddy.
Stress, when we get back into our real studio, we have so many stories, man. So we're going to have you come in and do a full thing with us. Because I mean, dude, the tour stories the tour stories alone, man, would. I mean, we could talk all night. So
I'm surprised we're alive.
Like, you know, listen, sometimes I can't believe some of the things all of us have done. It's like fucking crazy. And the fact that it's like, oh, now we just sit on a fucking internet and talk to each other like civilized people. And it's
I don't think these kids need a documentary. They need like a Danny Diablo docuseries.
Yeah, I told Ezak said he wanted to do
all the different people I touched.
I said, so, yo, stress.
Not too bad, right?
Stress. Picture this.
Yes.
Like a fuck. Not that I'm not comparing Ezak to.
It's Beanie.
Look at Beanie. Shout out Beanie.
What's up, Beanie?
Yo, not that Ezak is like Tiger King in any way, shape, or form, but imagine. I'm saying, imagine an episodic TV series in that vein where Ezak's the character. You know what I mean? And they involve everyone around him telling these fucking stories over like 6 episodes. It would be amazing.
Yo, he's pretty. He's kind of like fucking. It's like his name's Danny Exotic. This guy right now.
Listen, Stress. You got to help me make this documentary happen. We're gonna. Ezek's gonna reach out to Sasha about it.
If Stress gets like a get out of the documentary, he can say whatever he wants to say. He's gonna talk some.
Well, Stress is gonna have to do.
He's like, no, this is how it went down.
I'm gonna put Stress on the hook for the score if we get the budget. So.
Oh yes.
I'm about it, man.
You know. All right. Well,
I'm
yo.
About it.
Stress, thank you so much for swinging by today, man. Thanks for coming by, man. We'll just catch up with you in a bit.
You got it, man. I'll talk to you. I'll text you.
Come on, I'll do the call, bro. Call you tomorrow, bro.
Peace. All right, love you guys.
All right,
see
peace, it. Man.
Shout out to Jack.
All right, we're back with this guest I've been waiting all day to talk to. One of my favorite people. One of my first friends when I was a little kid going to shows from out of state, looking up to. Got to tour with this guy in Europe in 2006. One of Danny's really good friends, right, E? One of your really good friends here. Yo, everybody, welcome Hoya Rock to the fucking
Hoya Rock. Hold on. Let's call it the Hoya Rock Show.
All right. Tonight it could be this segment will be the Hoya Rock.
The Hoya Rock Show. The Hoya Rock episode. No, but yeah, but first, Jay, how long I know you now?
Dude, seriously, probably like 25 years or so.
Wait,
like 23.
How long I know him?
No, yeah, how long I know you? So
Ezak knows me right now.
Yeah, he went. All right, I got to know how you guys met because.
Tell the fucking truth.
So Ezak's like 10 years older than me.
Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here.
So I think I was going to elementary school and he was like going to like first year, like college. Like, no, but, yo, real story. I'm going to give you the real fucking story.
Tell the fucking story.
Because he goes around telling some fucking Dark Crystal version of this. So,
baby.
In Queens, there was a record store called Numbers. And now when you think about it, it was pretty ill because since it was in Queens, Jackson Heights, it literally was like a Bleaker Bob's. But it was Queens.
That's dope.
It was no joke from hip-hop vinyl to hardcore. Like, that
metal.
They came out. It came out at Numbers, which was pretty crazy. Like, we knew we had it in our hood, but I don't think we really knew what we had.
Right.
We had everything there.
It was nuts, like, when it would drop. Anyway, so we would go there. I lived in Corona, and we would walk there.
It's my neighborhood.
Check out the hardcore section. So I'm going there. So we're going one day to walk, and then I see this guy, red hair, and he's with this tiny kid. So I said, first of all, he's like, first of all, that's my section, that record section. No, but we saw, you know, like, you don't see a lot of hardcore people, you know, you either saw, like, in school, maybe if there was a hardcore kid around, or you knew them from going to shows if you went to shows.
Right.
So it was kind of like, so we gave each other dirty looks, like, walked by each other, kind of gave each other dirty looks, and it was like, kind of like, you know, because you're kind of like, what do you know about this kind of shit?
I was with JM and KMA.
And Woody. No, where are you? KMA or Woody. Yeah, KMA.
Woody,
yeah, Woody.
KMA, yeah.
Yeah, Woody, an old friend. Then, but then like a little while, not too long after that, MQ was bombing on the train station or something. Okay. And then he ran into E or something, was like, yo, what you write? Kind of whatever. But
we're on the train tracks. I'm like, what you write? And we're arguing, me and MQ. This is 1987. Like, right.
So what happened was, so in our neighborhood, since, you know, again, there was especially in our neighborhood, there was, you know, it was real mixed. And as much as there was hardcore and metal guys and a story, whatever, you know, it still wasn't a lot.
Right.
It was only that area, you know, it was all so mixed. So everybody kind of knew. If you knew the metalheads in Woodhaven and you lived in Astoria.
Yeah.
Because it was just still kind of like, you know, whatever. But anyway, long story short, a bunch of the dudes of our old people, they were from Jackson Heights. We were from Corona. And then me and MQ had met them because we were bombing. Me and MQ were bombing, and we met my boy Jeer,
yes.
Bundy. but, and a couple other dudes, right? Yeah. We met them one night, right? And we were like, what you doing? Like, yo, what you write? What you write? We were like skins already, so already the connection kind of shit. And then they were like, yo, MQ, blah, blah, blah. They knew MQ, Jir 1. We talked, blah, blah, blah. We connected the dots that night. So right away, they were like, yo, come hang out. The next day, we go to hang out, and everybody's meeting up. So me and MQ don't really know. No, you know, we know Jir, who we met, and Bundy, who we killed with the night before. And then E is the first time we met him. And then a bunch of other people. We're just meeting a lot of people. And we're standing there. So it's me, E, MQ, I think. It was me, E, MQ, Jir. Bundy. Jir. And Bundy was always there. Yeah. And then fucking this white boy walks up. This kid, Moe. What was it? Moe, right?
Moe, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. He walks up and he was friends with all these guys. So he walks up and he's like kind of like, you know, he's this real redheaded, you know, fresh-faced Irish kid. And he walks up and he's like, yo, you were E or some shit or something to this guy? And me and MQ are looking like, oh, shit, there's going to be beef. Like, yo, shit. But we're standing right next to each other and the guy goes, yo, you went over me. And then E looks at me, like, we don't know each other. He kind of looks at us and looks at him, and he was like, so? and then we looked at the guy like, yeah, and? Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. And the guy didn't do shit. And then we started laughing, and we're like, oh, that nigga's a bitch. And then
just that day, we became best friends.
That's and then we started hanging out. So but we little laugh because I was like, all right. One guy said one thing. All right, now it's your turn. And the guy was like, we literally just met that day, so.
Yo, and it's kind of cool, too, because you guys, like, you met over records, and you're still, your bond today till this day is, like, the music connection and touring and doing stuff together.
I want to break something down.
Yep.
If it wasn't for me lending my sister's he would be nowhere right now.
Him and Scam share the same brain with history. They have, like,
you owe me, crystal. You owe me.
The dark history, the dark crystal memory like this.
Yo, your first boss.
But I actually brought the property value of Scarhead up for a tour. I was like, you know, Jameson and the Temptations. Yep, like,
yeah, yeah.
The ringer. You know, like, get this nigga from his house. Get this nigga. We need him. But that was, I don't even know what year, but I was, what, 15, like, not like 16, maybe?
87. It was 87, definitely. Was the first show stuff.
So, and Hoya, you were playing in, because you guys just did a reissue for Demise, which was your early project.
Ask him about the bass. Whose bass was that?
But that was before Demise when we met.
Okay.
Yeah.
I met Young, because what it was, I know, again, with the band shit, it was like, I never wanted, we meant to be in a, it wasn't like, oh, I always wanted to be in a band. Yeah. When we were kids, like, oh, we liked the music, so my boys were like, yo, we'll start a band. So in the lunchroom, we'll be like, all right, what are you going to do? Okay. All right, I'll do this, I'll do that. But it was not like, oh, my lifelong dream.
He went to Newtown.
Yeah. And yeah, I was in Newtown and then 61. And in general, there was like, literally, even in those schools were all black and Spanish. So there was literally like five of us that liked metal or hardcore. It was right. Just what it was. You know what I mean? But, you know, back then you found each other. Like I said, because it was just, you had the same watering holes, like Numbers, yep. Leica Bobs.
Were you already playing an instrument at that time, Hoya?
Nah, none of that shit. Well, you know what it was? I started with Demise. Like, all right, first I started playing with Beto. Me and him, when we grew up, we got like a guitar and bass kind of thing. And we said, okay, let's do it, because we said, let's start a band. That was the only reason. I always wanted to play it.
Right.
I was like, fuck it. All right, I'll play bass. My brother likes bass. It got to be cool. Yeah. I didn't work. Yeah. And then we kind of started a band without having a full band. And as we were hanging out, we met the other guys, and they already were playing in bands. So then they were like, we were hanging out in front of my step. We were already hanging out, like all of us. Yeah. And it was me, Jir, my old drummer, Richie. They were already in bands with each other. They all would play.
So it just like happened organically that you were like.
We were literally hanging out on my stoop drinking 40s blazing. And that's... then we were listening to Spermicide, as Crucial Chaos, his old radio station.
Yep.
And they used to play the worst shit, you know, like the worst. And I remember we were sitting there and I said, yo, this shit sucks. My big mouth. I said, this shit sucks. I go, I bet, yo, this shit could get on the radio. I bet we could get on the radio. We could throw anything together and they'll get on the radio.
And then
my boy Jer was like, yo, let's do it.
Your boy Jer.
they wanted to kind of do a band already. And, you know, we tinkered with it, but then they were like, all right, fuck it, let's do it. We're like, all right. They were already in motion, and then we started playing and shit. But we're like 15, 16.
Well,
like,
people don't understand that we were doing music, but we were also writing graffiti, and we had mad beef with so many people in the neighborhood and outside the neighborhood. So even us meeting up, like one time I was going to Hoy's house, and I got chased from Elmhurst Hospital.
He would get chased, and they could run to my house.
They tried to kill me.
They run to my house. Okay, now they all know where I live.
Yeah.
But they would always come in. You know what I mean? So it was like, and that's the thing, like, you know, on the way to a rehearsal, you know, we're bombing, or you'll meet us on the train station because we would hang out at rehearsals.
Yeah.
At the train station, you're bombing, or
Woodside, or everything.
Yeah, you know, while we're in the room, we're jamming, guys go outside and put stickers up. You know, it's just always.
One time, Hoy and I were in front of a bar by Jackson Heights, and the guys came out. And they try to shoot me. The Mexican guy next to me.
These guys, they have beef with us. But we were on a street corner. Now, this is the crazy shit, because there was a street corner, and there was a bunch of us hanging out. And a car rolled up, and you hear, pop, pop, pop. And we all ducked. We're like, oh, shit. And then some of us even started running towards the car. The car left already, but we started running up the avenue. Like, yo, what up, what up? And then we were like, yo, anybody got shot? Now, the crazy thing was, if this was the corner, like, we were on the corner. We were all kind of near the front of the corner. And then people down the block, none of us got hit, thank God. But one kid who had nothing to do with it,
the poor guy.
He got hit in his leg. But check this out. It went through a friend's jacket, through his flight jacket.
Yeah.
And then hit the kid in the front of one leg and went into his other leg.
Damn.
And the kid was all the way, like, down the road from us. Because it was graffiti beef, and guys were rolling up.
But they wouldn't kill me and them cute.
And everybody was on that corner, and then this kid had nothing to do with it. You know, he got, but he was all right.
That's wild, man. Yeah, that's such a wild story.
Like, yeah, and it was like,
Every day was like that.
You know, shit would happen like that, like, you know, wild shit like that on the avenue and shit. Back then, it was like, again, it was all just, you know, it went hand in hand with hanging out, you know, outside. You know, when you hung out outside, that's the thing that people don't understand. That's what changes. When you hang outside, you know, your senses are more alert.
Right.
Oh, you gotta be.
You gotta be, yeah, exactly. Especially, like, at that time, like you were saying, in the years that was going on, and the graffiti culture was still super early on, and more, it was
way
obviously
different, way different.
Yeah, way different, way super, different. Super violent.
This was during, like, the crack era.
Right.
And the heavy, like, that, like, bazooka, people smoking crack. And it was in the disco. It was the people smoking crack. And when we hung out, it was Roosevelt was the crack cocaine and the hooker capital of America.
Cocaine capital, Jackson Heights, Roosevelt.
And hookers, like women trafficking all in that area in the United States, more than Miami, Florida at one point, everywhere. Wow. And our park where we hung out was right there. So it was common to be like, yo, when we would walk home, you would walk by the Bayshead, you know?
Yeah, it was just like an everyday thing. Know,
yeah, you know, first time seeing Bayshead's out there. Bro.
Me and MQ, when we used to grow up with our dogs, we used to have, like, pits. We wouldn't fight our dogs, but to get them riled up, we would walk up Roosevelt, and they'd be crackheads, you know, like Bayshead's walking around. We have the dog kind of get a little, you know, just
to get them away from you.
Yeah, not to really bite them, but no, get a little.
Yeah, you know, just to get social distancing at the time.
Yeah, social distancing before the corona V.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it's a different world back then.
Yeah, it's like, it was a very different time.
No, our thing was, a lot of people would hate us. People would only know who we are. They'd be like, yo, it has to be Hoyer, MQ, these guys, these with shaved heads, got triple fat gooses on, fisherman hats.
And they used to call us disco skins. They used to be like, there's a disco skin. Because we were like skins, but we listen to hip hop, and we have like DM, like triple fat gooses. And it was like, it was a crazy, crazy era.
Yo, so
it was.
Hoya, tell me a little bit too about. So you were saying that you had just started picking up the bass in the beginning of this, right? Like, did you, when you had first started playing, you said too, it was never your intention to be in a band. Like, yo, looking back at like the records you've worked on and how people view those records, like kids like me who look at those.
He's a bass guy.
Yeah,
now.
Like what is that like, man? You're part of that, like as Zizak refers to the bass mafia. I mean, dude,
you know what? It's crazy because it's still like, you know, it's dope. You know, and it's dope that I like that, but like I said, I never was like meant to be like planned to do this. And I never thought I would make this many records. I never thought I would make one, let alone like I really don't like. So to me, it's kind of like, did do 10 records.
Yo, like more,
I still don't believe I did that many records.
Yeah, but you know what? What I'm saying, but you like it's crazy because like no matter what you say, like where we came from and our families and fucking what like how like your mother's like my mother. You mean so?
Yeah.
It, we came from that the crazy from our fathers are just like us. So it's like, yeah, now his father is acting like him and my father is like me. So.
You know what it is? It was also this music is there. Like again, it's not just music; it's our life,
right?
It's culture. It is our life. Really.
It's just what always was there.
Yeah, man. Like it's
another, like you know.
I would tell about Hoya. I would tell something about Hoya. No matter how big headed I get. He will bring me back down to reality. With one
you know why? Because I seen him kiss his first girl.
Yeah.
That's why.
So, dude, I shut the fuck up, nigga.
So that brings me down. Listen. When shit, you know what Hoya does? He never sugarcoats anything.
No, but you know what it is? I never make somebody feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's never, like, to be, like, it sometimes hurts niggas, but it's never to be, like, oh, I'm doing it because I want to see Jay fucking hurt. It's more like, nah, Jay got to know this. Anything for everything, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just what it is, you know? Like, so, and it got to be something, like, really, really, like, and I got to be, like, yo, really, if you, you know.
Well, one of my favorite things about watching, like, Madball, man, is, like, you always look like you're just having such a good time. And I've heard that from everybody, man. Like, it's just... It's so, like, obviously, man, like, again, watching you in the States, but then touring with you guys in Europe, which is such a fucking different experience, and watching you guys control those crowds and stuff, man, is like, yo, it's surreal, man, and just, like, you just always look like you're having such a good time, and I think that translates.
They kill it.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a stigma.
It's infectious, man. It's infectious.
You know what I learned from stigma? Because straight up, like in the early days, you know, somebody would write a review and diss us. Yeah. Well, people used to diss, you know, they always diss us.
They diss all of us.
But I would take that shit to heart in the early days because, you know, you like, yo, what
yeah, you feel like it's personal at the time.
And I remember one day reading a review that and I never forget the review. It was early. The guy said, this band plays two chord bullshit or something like that. And they go, and the singer sounds like he gargles with liquid Drano. I always remember that part. But take this time, this is when our first record came out, and we were in Stigma's house, and it was like a big metal magazine, and I was reading, and I go, motherfucker, and I started flipping, and Stigma's like making coffee, he's like, shaking, and I'm like, I got mad at him, like, yo, nigga, did you hear what I read? He's like, spell the name right. And I go, what? He goes, who can't spell the name right? He goes, they're talking about us, right?
True.
And, all right, that was one. And still, many, many years later, we were playing a show, and I learned this one from Mackie, my brother Mackie, the one and only.
Yeah, Mackie.
Show somewhere, and you know, and it wasn't a show where people were like moshing or whatever, but it was a good show. People were into it, but it wasn't like a very light. And I remember getting off stage, and I felt like, yo, we were whack. And I remember Mackie kind of with that same nonchalant attitude. Again, these are old school dudes that seen it all.
Yep.
And he's like, nothing. And he's looking at me almost like, yo, what the fuck you being a little bitch about without saying it? Mackie goes, dude. He goes, did anybody leave? I go, no. He goes, were they all clapping? Did we go out and do another? I go, yeah, yeah. He goes, all right then. Not everybody wants to fucking mosh. And then I was like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, you're right, right?
But, you know, in our world, if we don't get
no,
that,
that's how you gauge.
With failing.
I'm with you, man. That's how you gauge
listen,
the interest.
Like this guy, from when we first began, this guy became so professional. Like, I actually enjoy watching him play bass.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, I watch Craig Satomi. It's like,
I was going to say, dude, to
it's
me,
like,
I always.
Same, like, amazing.
I always
like,
say,
it
dude.
Moves the whole crowd, the blood.
Yo, Hoya, Craig. Beatty from Hatebreed, man, my fucking three, like, I could watch these guys play bass all the time, man.
again, you know, I got lucky.
And
I
Busky. Shout out Busky, too. I can't forget.
Hell yeah. I got lucky. Busky. I got thrown into one of my favorite bands, you know. I basically got thrown into Agnostic Front.
Yeah, which is wild.
And that's what it was.
Hoya,
and
how did you get involved in that?
Yeah. Demise was already phasing out. You know, guys were kind of getting over being in a band and kind of, and we were already all hanging out, all of us. You know, Freddie had moved up to New York, and they were starting to kind of do some shows. Like, they got back together, but it wasn't official.
I was supposed to play bass first. I gave it to him.
Yeah, you fucked up.
I gave it to him.
Yeah.
Go ahead, look, please, thank you, Yvette.
Yo,
thank
you, Yvette. I could have been a lawyer. If you would have took that job, I would have went to law school.
Well, I first started when I was playing basketball, and I lost.
And you hurt? Yeah. Knicks were scouting him, and he hurt on a layup.
I hurt my ankle.
And then, we were like, we were all hanging out already. And then basically at that time, AF broke. It's crazy. Things happen for a reason. Right. Like, AF was breaking up. Freddie just moved to New York, and they wanted to have, you know, they start playing some shows or whatever. And Demise was kind of fizzling out, and we were already hanging out. So when I remember Maddie, they was like, "Yo, we got a couple of weekends booked.
Yeah,
You want to fill in?" And I remember being like, "Yeah, you know, we were already boys. Me, Freddie, E, we're all hanging out." But I remember being like, even musically, I was playing more metal shit at that time.
You're a metalhead.
Yeah, and metal, and I like crossover groove shit always. And then Madboy at the time was still real old school.
Yep. Yeah.
I loved old school, but we were already, we were already growing into our shit, like our leeways and all that, whatever. And then I remember being like, yo, that's cool and all that, but I'm kind of like, I want to do some other shit. You know, but we were boys, and Maddie goes, yo, it's just a couple of shows. You know, maybe a weekend or two.
Yeah, and look now. That's the longest weekend you've been on, right?
26 years late.
What a long career Madball has had, blessed with, man. I mean, it's just amazing, too. And it's cool that kids have always discovered Madball through the years, man. It's one of my favorite. Again, man, it was one of, like, the first records I got getting into. And it's cool that kids still discover it, that you guys still put out new records. Man, the last record was fucking awesome.
Guys, when they say kings of New York hardcore,
yay! You know what? Now I'm like, when you talk.
Listen, when they kings of hardcore.
Listen to this right now.
They talk all these bands. It's like, all right, Gorilla Biscuits have a great 7-inch. Cro-Mag's got a great one record. You mean?
No, Madball's catalog is...
But Madball... Yeah. Put out every single record has at least three hits.
Yeah, we try.
No. Three hits.
We always try exactly that. We always try this. No matter what, we always think, okay, you got to think of a concept. You think come with it. You know, if it works or not, you got to think, okay, what can we do? Because it's like, all right, it gets tricky after you do four records, five records. Then it's like, okay, now what?
Now
you got to reinvent yourself. Without fucking yourself over and
alienating fans and shit.
It's hard to juggle.
I do all different types of music, and it's like, I'm like the Prince of Hardcore.
That's why, here's the thing. So you know what E would do was start a lot of bands. I never did a lot of bands, which now I'm doing another band because...
Wait, before we get to that,
does Jay Reason know you're starting a band before I do?
Because I keep up on Instagram and I follow my friends' stuff, man. But before we get to that, I just want to stay on the Madball thing really quick, because you guys did just reissue Hold It Down on vinyl. I just got the shipping notification the other day, so I cannot wait to get mine. Hoya, talk about because we this is something we talk a lot about on the podcast, is bands, you know, controlling their master rights, putting shit out. Like, yo, Hold It Down,
producers, stuff like that.
Talk about that, and you guys deciding to put it out, which I think is fucking awesome, man. That kids are gonna get a good version of vinyl on that. So talk about a little bit about that and where we can get it, and sort of that little story about putting that together.
Yeah, basically it's the 20 years, I guess, of Hold It Down, and we had got the rights back. You know, Epitaph was always cool, and in all reality, even though we signed the Def deal back in the day with Roadrunner, they were cool too, because people back then Roadrunner would—you don't get off Roadrunner. They would—they would throw you off the label.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got—we left Roadrunner. It wasn't—they never dropped us. We were probably one of the first bands that didn't get dropped.
Well, I mean, if you think about it in their sense, it makes sense because Madball's a band that you don't have to sink a lot of money and do a record for cheap. They're going to you're going to sell and you tour like crazy. So.
And they had love for us, but, you know, we were a hardcore band and hardcore is limited, you know, for what it is. And blah, blah, blah. They had love. They, you know, they put it out. They didn't expect, you know, that it would do what it did, you know, and it did better.
No, it was great.
But, you know, it was cool. Like, we got off pretty easy, you know what I mean? Like, we never had a Blue Grape deal.
Right.
Blue Grape deal? Because we were so wild style. Like, you know, even, again, we got lucky that a lot of these dudes that worked in Effect, where E worked at, that ended up working at Roadrunner, at the Mail Rooms and A&R, they were all dudes that worked the shows. So they kind of understood and got it. So what Madball was, As even though it was a new band, it had history with some of the guys in it. Like, there was a stigma involved with it.
Right.
So people, it's not just
you can't just treat it like everything else.
Kind of hit and run, like, as far as they're not going to try to take some money and leave and disappear. Never see them. You know, you could kind of trace it back, you know, to them. And then,
So you end up doing Hold It Down on Epitaph, right, after that. And so did you guys just get the rights back, or how did that, or... Is that something you can talk about, or?
I don't know full detail, but we things back from them, Freddie, and then we ended up putting it out. Like,
that's
we
amazing.
Got it back. I don't think it was like no fight on, like, you know, it was always cool. Like, Epitaph was, shout out to Epitaph, because when we dropped Hold It Down, that record right before it dropped, Freddie went on vacation.
I remember that. You know what's funny is, Hoya, when one of the first shows back that you guys played was at the Connecticut LNG, was the last Voice of Reason show, which was my first band. So it was always cool that happened together.
Yeah.
And I remember buying Hold It Down actually at a Sam Goody, and it was weird because it was on Epitaph, but you could get it everywhere. Better distribution at the time. Epitaph was kind of, they had just had H2O, so there was the connection
the
there.
The biggest independent. It was
a smart move at the time, for sure, especially looking at what Roadrunner was doing. Like you said, it's not like they knew that they could get away with doing Madball at a certain level, and it was nice to see Hold It Down come out and see more, just a little more effort, you know, from
the
label.
I remember the talk of Roadrunner at one point, because, all right, videos. Now, you know, video, it's easy. Back then, you know,
of course, man.
Yo, remember, you just had to find somebody with film.
Like, the Sepultura video back then was like 100,000.
150,000 for video.
Exactly, easy. Like, so, you know, not that we wanted it, but we had done an album, and then some bands were getting it, and we were like, okay, we did Demonstrating Myself. Look, we were like, okay, yo, bands are starting to do this. Yo, all right, what's our next step? I go, yo, we need a video at least. And then they were like, yo, you know, Typos all got all our loot right now. We're like, all right, you know, we can obviously.
Yeah, you guys are basically funding Typo. That's the whole thing. I mean, that's how the labels
work. We were funding the toilet paper at Roadrunner. but they were always like, I never forget this. They were like, yo, we were like, yo, man, you know, we would like to bounce. You know, if we can't, you know, they were like, what do you want? Like, what do you guys want? We kind of told them. They were like, yo, that's going to be hard because money's going into whatever record, you know, Typo, whatever it was. And they were like, we want to bounce kind of shit. They were like, I never forget. They were like, really? You know, and that's kind of felt good.
Right.
They were like,
because you kind of,
it wasn't like, okay, bet, bounce. Yeah. They always had love for us in a way, you know.
Well, and especially too for a career like you guys, where Europe is such, especially back then, Europe being such an important market, Roadrunner had.
Kings of Europe.
You know what? I'm glad that E was there. That was the first time, like, one, that I, not just that I was experiencing it, but it was, he got to see it also at like one of the, that's probably the biggest height in Europe.
Yeah, that's
like,
insane.
Like at that moment, you don't understand, like there was moments then we would do signings where we would have to get rushed out.
Do you remember
like,
that?
Rushed out.
Do you remember that? Madball?
Like rushed out, like security, like they're ripping your stuff off and it's like,
yo, that's
just, it was so, not even that everybody was a Madball fan, but it was new. Like a band, and the live music was very hype. And
yo, and it's crazy watching those. Like, there's a ton of YouTube videos of you guys playing like Dynamo and shit in front of the dude.
Man,
it's like insane, man.
Yeah.
You know what's even crazy over the years, since me and Hoy, like, we're talking about, we're best friends So we're kids in high school. Then all of a sudden, then we become fucking musicians. And then we're on tour. And the only time we see each other is when we're on tour. So we're bumping each other on tour. And it'll be the craziest shit ever. Like, you're backstage. And people look at us like, the kids in Europe thought we're just friends through music. No, we're friends before we got to
music. Yeah. Oh, yeah, before we had band. You know what I mean? Kind of thing since we were kids. Little kids, you know what I mean? It's... long time now, anything, you know.
Well, I remember the first time Hoyer took me out. He always brings us up. He took Crown Thorns on tour, Mad Walk to Crown Thorns in 1995, right?
Our third tour, like.
We had the bus. It was us versus the old people.
The old man.
We were going at Stigma hard.
We hated Stigma on that tour. Nicky the Knife.
Nicky the Knife, remember?
Freddy, we would throw
a guy, old man.
Damn, that's hard.
Boys
were blasting Johnny Cash, they were blasting like Rakim. And they were...
Yo, Stigma, we get so mad. Yo, he went back in the bus in a high, but he get on the microphone.
You like, remember?
Say hi for me, old man. Die.
He's on the mic. He's on the phone. I forgot about that. You can't hide, old man. And not for nothing, that shit felt like we were on tour for a year.
It was 2 months.
Yeah, I know. Like, DeJean hit me up and he was like, he would remind me of shit. And I'm like, literally, it was forever.
How about you pissing on the centipede?
All right, so now I want to plug. So Hoya's got a new project called True You.
What the fuck?
Hoya, before we had you on, our first guest of the night was DJ Stress the White Boy, so friend of all of ours. And I was going to wait to introduce that you were working on the project with E and blah, blah, blah. But Stress had brought it up, so wants to bring it up.
What the fuck is this?
Go ahead, E, take over.
Why don't you ever ask me a single question?
Yeah, because first of all, so basically...
So it's called True Union first, before I forget to plug it. Go ahead.
So I have... It's not a hardcore band, it's basically... And you can hear that, you know, they have some hardcore people.
Who's singing?
But it's you got to hear. It's hard to describe.
Who's the singer? Who's the singer?
Well, it's a mix because I got a couple of tracks. And I got another kid who's on a couple of tracks. Nobody knows him. He's not in a band, you know, in any bands or nothing like that. He's in another band, but not a hardcore band.
Right, okay.
All right, you're up to something. I know something.
And then I got my rhythm section. You know, a killer gotta have a killer. So I won't say who that is.
Oh, shit. Either.
But, basically, it's like AC/DC, Black Sabbath with James Brown's drums.
Oh, fuck. All right,
I'll find out.
You know?
I'll find out.
And, basically, I had a lot of music for the last couple of years. It wasn't mad bullshit, but I basically was working on a lot of stuff was coming out, and I was building it. And I always said, man, this is, you know, I worked on with other people to make music for other groups and stuff.
All the bands, I know.
Yeah.
Well, Hoya, I mean, I remember watching early Madball shows, and you would talk about, yo, my hip hop record's coming out soon. So, I mean, you've always talked about that.
He sang on the shop block.
And everybody who, people who follow you on Instagram know that you're always working on riffs, man, which is so fucking cool. Like, you are consistently riff hunter.
Yeah, and then I had all these songs, and I was like, yo, you know, I'm giving this shit, I'm not giving it away, but trying to shop it and stuff, and I was like, yo, some of that shit, if it don't get used, I felt like, yo, that shit's a waste.
Yeah.
And what I was talking about before, like, about him being in all the bands, a lot of bands, and me not, and then I was like, I started thinking, I was like, somebody was like, yo, just put the band together, and I was kind of like, yo, I can't do that, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, telling myself I can't do that. And I'm like, wait a minute, why can't I?
Why not?
You know,
But
I just, this band has been the only thing that, you know, we survive off of.
Right.
I've only worried about how we keep this animal alive, you know, to make it work.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's our baby too, you know. But the songs are too dope to let it go. And I started building them. And then I got on the track, my own, you know, I jumped on the track rhyming.
Wait.
But it ain't a hip hop rock thing. There's one, I got a track where I kind of rhyme on it, but it's not that kind of band. You know, I got an electric song.
Awesome. When are we going to be, when do you think we're going to be able to hear music?
Well, basically, so long story short, I got about, well, finished tracks, I got about 5 to 7, and I got about 20.
Oh, sick.
I got an album.
Yeah, he's all he does. He all he does is music.
And basically, the idea was this. This was the plan, man. I was supposed to, at the Black and Blue, I was going to go right after the Black and Blue, and I'm recording my first 3 singles.
Oh,
I'm
sick.
First, I'm dropping 3 singles, 3 videos, all right off jump.
Oh, that's sick.
Are you putting, who are you putting out? By yourself?
By yourself. Just
that's the best way to do it, yeah.
And just to let it simmer and then see what's up. But anyway, I was supposed to go right after the Black and Blue, go to Stresses, and we were going to record these 3 tracks because, again, it's all financed by me.
Yeah.
Basically means, you know, I got to make it all in-house. So, and we have enough people and guys that know what they're doing, and you know, this is what we do.
That's dope.
Exactly. And but it's something really, really dope, I think, because it's our element. You know what I mean? But it's like this. After the hardcore show, you know, we want to go to have drinks or go somewhere.
You need something else to listen.
Where maybe our girl wants to wear a dress and not get hot. But somewhere where she won't feel out of place.
Right.
Please.
Yeah.
That's going to be the True Union show.
Yo, that's awesome, man.
That's excited. What it is. It's like I said, I'd say it's the cool uncle that just got out of jail. You know what I mean?
I'm excited, man, as a fan of yours, dude, to see, because again, like you were saying, how much different Madball was when you came in. So I'm excited as a music fan to see what your solo shit is, because again, I see you.
The groove and the riffs, man, are sick. For Sosa, just grow the mustache back.
Yeah, look, I just shaved it. I had a beard and everything. That shit got too itchy.
But grow the mustache back, bro.
But not just working on that, man. I'm really psyched on that shit. I'm writing a Madball record.
I was just gonna ask before we let you go if there was any Madball news you could share with everybody.
Yeah, we're writing our fucking 10th album.
That's fucking awesome.
Congratulations
on that one.
I know.
You gotta tell Madball what's up, bro. Put him on a 2 of my songs.
Let him know.
I'll let him know.
We're gonna start a whole.
Bring it now. I'm gonna bring it hard in that song. You need the hardest song ever did in my life.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill that song.
Lucky he's. I read. Yeah. Oh yeah. Let him know. You might scare him. Don't tell him that now. Now you're gonna put you on the track.
Tell him.
Yeah, we're doing that, man. Again, crazy, pretty crazy. Like 10 records in.
That's crazy. Did you guys have any big... You guys had some summer plans and shit, too. Obviously, that got fucked up with all this shit, right?
Literally, this thing happened. The lockdown happened on a Wednesday night, Thursday. We were supposed to fly out that... Lockdown Wednesday, that Thursday.
I remember.
We had a good tour with us and Mark Bruce in Europe.
Yep.
And some Canadian dates. And we had a bunch of shit, man. And it... Like everybody... You know,
so everybody who's listening, man, if you're a Madball fan, definitely go out and pick up the copy of Hold It Down. You'll see a link in this right now.
Also, go to Hoya's Instagram, and Hoya sells that merchandise. He sells t-shirts and hats. Go, he ships all over the world. Buy his shit.
Yeah, really.
That's what I always tell everybody. If you ain't buying my shit, buy anybody's shit, but especially hardcore bands.
Right.
Yeah.
Metallica's dope, but they got enough money.
Yes.
Hoya, talk a little bit about Casa de Rock, because that's your thing. And I tell a little bit about that, because I think, again, that's one of these cool things where it's inspiring to see somebody like you who's been doing it for so long, who like you said, you could just go and be like, let me do it this way or whatever, and to see you keep doing it, man. It's cool. It's like, tell us a little bit about your brand.
Exactly. One of those things, like, you know, the more we do shit, the more that, you know, when we start out, we get all our bands. When we first start out, we get a lot of help from people. You know what I mean? Because it's everything. You're a new band and this and that. And then that starts fizzling out. And then you start realizing you had to depend on a lot of people.
Yep.
Then you start learning about recording your own shit, you know, or looking for your own art and not middlemaning that. You know, you got to start being a little bit more proactive with shit. And I just start, you know, working on shit myself, you know what I mean? Like,
and Casa de Rock kind of spun out of that whole thing.
Yeah. So, like, basically, again, another avenue to try to promote my band, my avenue, and you know, again, you know, this band, you know, as much as I love hardcore and whatever, we don't get a royalty check.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't.
You know, I'm not on a retainer.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand that because they see how, you know, they see again, like, I mean, we were saying, like, all these videos and Dynamo and shit, and it's like, yeah, all that shit's cool and stuff, but at the end of the day, dude, a lot of us are still working regular jobs and doing shit. So the best thing I'm gonna say is, again, go and check out, you know, buy this, especially buy the vinyl from these guys, because that's the vinyl's a great way to support the band directly, and you get something cool. Buy shirts.
I have to go check out the old, check out the videos. I saw the fucking video, the Doc Martin stomping fuck over like 11 million, nigga.
Yeah. I don't know how many, but I mean, thank God, man.
I was so fucking. I was like, what? I was like, yo,
it's been great. I don't know how many, but I know it's been it made you know, a million in general. I was just like. Yes, that's good.
A million is wild.
The way I look at it is, even if that's half the amount of people watching it twice, that was at least 500,000 people.
Yeah, man.
For a couple of minutes.
Fuck yeah. Awesome, man.
Well, Toy, do you do like band t-shirts if they ask you to order?
No, like, this is the thing. We didn't, but we're going to. I'm trying to, like, what I was trying to do was this. My in a perfect world was I wanted to start doing shirts.
Yeah. For bands. Yes.
But I realized it's hard to do, keep up, because I was doing everything myself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Yeah,
but
customer
now,
service and shit, all that shit.
But now I want to start that kind of like how people are doing a collab thing, but I kind of want to do in-house exclusive more
that's
than
cool.
A
cool.
All right.
Like
that's
keep
that's
one
that's
on the wall.
So you two will have to get...
Let's say, exactly. Like if I did an Ezek shirt, right? It'll be one shirt that would be in the store.
Yeah, super limited, only available.
Only
there.
Only even there. If it ain't limited, just on the wall, it's only there, you get it. Yeah. You know, one spot,
that's
you know, whatever. Because that's what I wanted to do with, like, you know, who we got friends like that. Besides, you know, a collab always helps, but I wanted to do a collab kind of on, you know, the little bit of a twist, just kind of like almost you squat in my house.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you staying, you're going to live in my house, put your shit up, and then, you know, it's like a pop-up. You're popping up in my pop-up.
That's cool. Yeah, like a digital, like a digital pop-up.
People love that.
Exactly, a pop-up and a pop-up.
Yep. Definitely. That's dope, man. Well,
finger pop it. Just don't finger pop me.
Yo, Hoya, dude, Hoya, thank you so much for coming by tonight to hang with us on the Corona Chronicles, man. Yo, you made us laugh so hard. It was like, when you come into the city, hopefully soon, you know that we usually record in studio, so you're going to have to come, hopefully get Freddie in. We'll talk.
Yeah. He'll do it, of course. Well, next time we're in there, we're going to set it up. We're going to do it last time.
They got to be separated.
Yo, but listen, last time we're going to do it, and then he dissed me for somebody.
Dude, I didn't even hear from him, I don't think, that day either.
Yeah, we're going to go for like, he wanted to interview Rad Bones or somebody.
No,
he goes,
he
goes, very good. No, but, no, definitely, whenever, you know what's up.
Yeah, Hoya, where can everybody find you online? So one more time, plug all the sites, all the Instagrams.
HoyaRock357 Instagram, CasaTheRock.com. Get everything. If it ain't a Mad Boy shit, any Casa de Rock shit, any Ezek shit, any Jay Reason shit, whatever. Make sure it's a hardcore band, then work your way out.
Awesome, man. Well, yo.
Definitely.
Hoya, thank you so much for stopping and hanging out with us tonight, man. I love you so much, dude. Stay safe out there. Take care of everybody. For everybody else, yo, stay subscribed.
Corona Jackson Heights.
Yo, thank you for tuning in tonight. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, man. That shit has been growing, so thank you so much. Join the newsletter, all the good stuff. Yo, that's it for signing off, dude. Episode number 5 is a wrap. Boy,
that's right. Love. Subscribe. Hit that like button, motherfucker.
Yeah, hit that like. All right, man. Signing off. Love you guys. Peace.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.